pledge allegiance.
Okay, hats off, please, gentlemen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. They're coming. Oh, there's Joe. Hey, Joe.
Okay. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You may be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about these items within the jurisdiction but not appearing on the agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. The limit for your speaking, your speech, your comments will be 3 minutes. We have a beautiful timer over here that she's in charge of. Please step up to the speaker's podium right there. Please state your name and address, and if it's a difficult one, please spell it for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the time of presentation, it will be done by the chairman or the board by majority vote. Approval of the minutes for March 12th. We have a motion to approve.
I motion to approve.
And well,
aye.
That's Kristen.
Approval of the agenda for April 16th, 2026.
Motion to approve.
Second. All
those
in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're so, starting out our evening, we're going to receive a report from the principal of Indian Springs High School and Junior High School, Principal Webb, and the Associate Superintendent Scarlett Perryman, in regard to the new school building for discussion. So, would you like to start?
Great American Award. That 12 students this year, that's up from, we had one student last year. So 12 of our fifth graders, and they have to meet all of these challenges, like be able to recite or sing the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, all the presidents. I had a whole note card, and I said to Scarlett on the way here, I left it sitting on my desk with everything, with all my notes on it. And then in the high school, we are graduating for the first time ever AP Capstone candidates, which means we have students that passed 4 AP exams, and then they took the AP Capstone Pathway Program. And we have a student here that is one of our candidates this year. Peyton is one of our candidates. The first time we've ever done that. And on that, we are also introducing 3 new AP classes next year, AP Chemistry, AP Art, which is our first elective AP, and AP Government. So we are really increasing all of our post-secondary coursework at Indian Springs to make our students more marketable once they graduate from high school. So those are some of our successes this year. And now we'll get into our our brand new building that we're getting out here. So our kids not only can achieve more with our classes, but they'll also have an amazing facility to receive these classes. So this is the first time we actually opened this today, so the first time we're seeing this poster today. So this is a rendering of the actual building, what it will look like. And then we brought the textile boards that we chose a very long time ago. about all the materials and then some of the colors that we had to actually fight for actual red, not maroon. They were trying to give us maroon, and we fought for an actual red to go into the school. This also has a rendering of the school on it, and this has a non-detailed blueprint, so you can actually see what the school will look like. We have to limit what details are in there due to an NRS statute and security issues.
I see that you have photocopies of the picture of the exterior school. Could you possibly hand those out to the ground?
No, this is for all three schools?
Yes. And you'll be able to see in more detail that it's three schools, but they're separated.
The building on the far right on this rendering.
Right here, this one here?
Yes.
This is the gym.
That's going to take the place of the thunderbolt.
Correct.
Is it the same square footage?
It is not the same square footage. But when you're looking at if you look at the blueprint of both gyms, which we don't have the current Thunderdome blueprint, but if you look at them, it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges because of the shape of them. It is a stand. Both of them are the same gym set, like basketball court size. The lobby in this one is smaller, so you lose square footage there. And this one doesn't have that huge hallway between the lockers and the basketball court.
Just to the right of the new gym is the pool.
Where it's located, this is actually all behind the elementary school. This will be right next to it is the football field. Yeah, I'm like, there's enough space there.
Money. It's the pool, but it still exists.
Yes.
Okay. The pool is also ran by a county separate institution. Okay. This is under
okay. Thank you, Peyton.
It's under Parks and Rec.
Yes.
And good evening. And to give you just an idea of timeline, which we are able to share what we have received about the timeline. So at this step of the process then, the district will be moving forward very soon for the construction bids and construction company selection with a goal of starting construction and breaking ground July 2026. And then projected for most project completion next July 2027 and opening the school August 2027 for the students. So this school will start the 2027 school year then, unless there's something unforeseen, in August 2027, which actually we were quite pleased when we found that out, because the last update we had for timeline was 2028. So they are moving forward to complete this project a year ahead of time, and it is their construction project that we're focusing on in the district to get it done then within that time.
I did have a question that will be a little quickly. I'm aware of the shape is a different size. Are the bleachers roughly the same? Are they going to house the same amount of people? Right?
It's almost the same. We had to go through and kind of count butts and seats on the current one. So there's probably minus one row. We would estimate in the new gym.
Do you have a number? Do you have numbers better than
four?
Almost.
It's four, it's actually on the FAQ.
One's compared to
it's
the
400
other.
And
what is the capacity of the Thunderdome?
The capacity of the Thunderdome is...
Did it say
500? Yes. It's 500 on the one side of the Thunderdome. Yes.
Do all grade levels share the multipurpose room?
Yes. In the current school and in the...
The current school has a multipurpose room that has a slash gymnasium mm-hmm. built into it, which is a very unique design. So therefore, when there's inclement weather for the students, they have somewhere to go other than back to the classroom because of the weather.
Right.
So that's the unique part about the old 1955 built gym for the school that should be saved for the community to use. Just is a shame that the multi-purpose room, I'm a prior physical education teacher in the elementary level, so I lived it, breathed it all those years, and we still don't have gymnasiums or facilities for PE in the elementary level. So we're stuck outside. Thank you.
Just a few things. We appreciate you guys coming out here, but in reality, you guys can't change what goes on in this meeting. It's already made the decision by the district down there what we're getting. This is only the third public meeting that we've had in Indian Springs to talk about what we're getting. Everything else was done way back when and decided on. They did make some changes after our first meeting to get us the wrestling room. And to see the district not know about liability when they first talk about the weight room and moving the equipment in and out, that's absurd. You've got too many lawyers and too many degrees in the district to come up with something like that and not know it prior to coming out to here. All this community is asking, and the school part of what you're building is amazing. Everybody would agree with that. Bigger classrooms, nicer, prettier, everything. But to tear down the Thunderdome when all the data I look for to find where they core drilled the Thunderdome is not there. They did not core drill in the Thunderdome to say the foundation in the Thunderdome itself is crumbling. We found some where they drilled away from the building like 25 feet, but that doesn't tell you what the foundation of the Thunderdome is. If they could just tear down the Thunderdome and for another 5 years and look at it, because it's not crumbling. Everybody that's been there out there, and I went out there with a contractor, and he doesn't see any crumbling, any cracks in the walls. And to tear down the Thunderdome and do what they need to do is minimum of $1 million. They could save that kind of money and put it elsewhere. Tearing down the Thunderdome would do a lot for this community. There's a lot more that could be done, and you as the principal and you as his boss know that you barely have enough room with the two facilities we use now. The kids are in the hallways, in classrooms, doing their extracurricular stuff. And if we get rid of the Thunderdome when this building is not as big, it's going to hinder the kids in the extracurricular stuff. You're putting them all in the theater, in the multi-purpose building. The theater's going to be in there. So that's going to hinder them. They're going to have to put up chairs and take down chairs or reassess stuff when they're doing their program. You're not making it easier for the teachers and the kids by tearing down the whole facility that could be saved without spending a lot of money. And I guarantee 95% of this community would agree with something like that. Just tear down the Thunderdome for at least 5 years. Or show us data that says the foundation is crumbling, because we have not seen it, and we've looked.
Right.
Can
you just talk about the on-board sheet that you gave us, at the very bottom bullet, it gives an estimate of what the repairs would be to bring the Thunderdome up to par. Just out of curiosity, how were those numbers arrived at? An estimate from a contractor or something of that nature.
And if you
flip the page on the next size, the top bullet also has another number that was requested by the community too. And by the way, thank you everybody for being here tonight, for giving us the opportunity. I have to tell you, Chris and I were actually very excited that now we get to speak with you, and Chris as the principal gets to share information as he's updated. You have actually all the information that we have been provided. And that's not to say that any information is withheld. It's not. In this process, though, facilities and construction very much focuses on the construction of the school, which is why we are here this evening, because now it is the responsibility of the principal, and I'm here to support and hopefully answer some questions or take feedback back, absolutely. But it's Chris's role now to communicate with the community the updates that he receives. He is your actual conduit for communication of questions, to find out what answers we can, and to communicate with you. So thanks for just allowing us to be here. For response to you on the numbers come from facilities and construction and their vast experience of looking at how they estimate costs. As to, I never want to give any misinformation, so if they consulted with contractors or something, I don't have that information.
Is there a department that we can request, like a public, or is it public information? Like, is there a department that we can request how they arrived at that number?
You can always make a request through our public information department, absolutely, as to how that information might have been. I will also communicate that back, that that's something that was asked for a little clarification, absolutely. And then in regards to the design process, it went back to this whole process. I was reflecting too, I saw Chris on the when we were talking a little bit ago, that I went back and reflected when this originally started, when Dr. Wiseman was the principal in October 2022. So it's been a journey from October 2022, when he was first contacted by Mr. McLaughlin, who had a different role in construction, to say, hey, we are now looking at building a new Indian Springs school for the community. And at that time, then, Dr. Wiseman was asked to gather people to come in to look and meet with the architects to go over the process. And within that, it involved staff members, it involved students, it had parents, and he had a gathered community member also. So they met several times with the architects in getting a feel for what was wanted, in getting a feel for what things might go into a school. And they had, I mean, not just here's a design, what do you think about it, but they really had to put thought into it, and that's what the architects gleaned from them. And then that process continued from that time into then the design of the school, and then going into the features of the district calendaring and going through the construction process. So it's been quite a time coming. I'm excited to see that it's actually here, and I appreciate that you recognize our students and staff and community deserves the new school. If you've walked in the school and been on the up and down with the uneven floor, which also includes the Thunderdome, and also seen any plumbing, I know we had some plumbing issues this year that we were trying to work. Yes, thank you for the nod. I was out there too when they had the 11-foot ditch going to unbury the pipes with our plumbers trying to work on it, and having to accommodate our little pre-K babies because their toilet was shut down, so we had to make some accommodations for that and act very quickly. And kudos to Chris in that communication. I can tell you that as far as the meetings go, it will be Chris who communicates. There won't be a community meeting with facilities and construction for any further input on the design. I am able to communicate that with you.
So you're saying that this is a done deal. What you see is what we get, even though we have voiced our opinion from day one when they did come out to public meeting. The only thing we saw that changed, they gave us a wrestling room and a weight room. Everything else is what they said, and we asked for core drilling paperwork back a year ago.
They did give us the two gyms.
The ones that we saw did not core drill this facility.
Right.
Yeah, there is, the gym can be divided to give you two courts.
They did do that, which was not on the original proposed design.
And if you put two courts up, can you still put the bleachers out?
You don't need to. It would only be two courts for practice.
But it still brings me back to my point about you're saying the facility back in the day, a year ago when they had a meeting, they used the word unsafe until Mr. Frank said, you're telling me my grandkids are going to an unsafe building? Then they changed their wording. So it's not unsafe, it's just starting to crumble. They still have not given us, to show us that the foundation is crumbling. And I understand you guys are just doing what you're told. Your hands are tied, we understand that. We appreciate it. But you're not listening to the community when this could be fixed. You could save money by not tearing it down and doing the minor repairs it needs and give us 2 facilities that would house more than this community could use. But we're not getting any answers. It's just, yeah, this looks pretty, is all we're getting. And you brought all the tile stuff. But it doesn't solve the main issues from this community. Other than the school is great. And nobody would say it's not going to be. The classes and what Mr. Wells brought out for the advanced classes help my grandkids in college already. So that stuff, what you're doing, that is great. But the extracurricular stuff that the community uses for the sports and theater has not been addressed. Other than we're getting 2 courts. So, go right ahead.
I just wanted to say we certainly appreciate the school, but I don't think anybody is asking me to do anything with that. I think that's a good deal. I think we're interested in is seeing if we can get help from you on where it takes to save the country. Simple as that. Not to try to change what you've got there. We understand that. All this other extraneous talk about how wonderful it is. We appreciate that. We want that. But we would like to be able to keep undergrowth. And I don't believe anybody here, including, and I'll put words in your mouth, if you don't mind. I'm sure that he would agree that it would be beneficial to have that extra square footage. I don't know how anybody would argue with that. I have hard time disagreeing. You didn't tell me. Tell me about your work. You get to tell me not to ever do that again.
And absolutely, as I said, I will take back your feedback and comments. And you're right, I'm not the decision maker about facilities and construction. That is not what I am over. My role as school associate superintendent is teaching and learning. I am a principal supervisor of the school. But absolutely, I listen to your concerns and communicate them back. What I can tell you information that we have been provided at this time is that the Thunderdome has deteriorated past the point of which it will be repaired, and that it is the flooring, the way it is deteriorating and such, is not to the level that the district is going to be able to sustain, and that the replacement is now what is coming. But I'm going to take your concerns absolutely back.
Let me ask, you said the flooring is beyond repair. That flooring.
The flooring is not such that it is going to be looked at further for repairs. It is going to be the construction of the new building. That's the information that we have.
Well, yeah, it's been on the building. But I would like for some reason to take that right door and show me where that flooring is in the park.
I can't promise anything's going to happen, but I am absolutely going to take that back.
You've
also
seen it, haven't you?
Oh, I've been in the Thunderdome. Yes.
If we take everything back, she's a over teaching and learning. I'm a principal. We're not engineers.
Yeah.
You know, so we take everything back to the people that make those decisions.
Why wasn't somebody in that department here to answer our question?
So I will tell you, you know, full transparency, we did ask if there was available someone from facilities and construction to attend the meeting, and at this point it is our principal and myself supporting who will be the information, sharing the information, and then receiving any comments from you and passing back. So somebody was not able to attend this evening. And so that you know, we did ask because we knew you would have questions, which is why we will take them back. And as far as things also being changed with community input, there are other things that you're probably not aware of that changed with community input, just so that you're aware from the very beginning of the process. And there are things that aren't always visible to the community, such as they needed another office for the counseling, for a counselor. So that was adjusted. The special education area was adjusted so that the special education facilitator could have an office. So certain things shifted as far as classrooms, and that was done through the process from way back in 2022 onward to meet needs. I understand, and I appreciate that you are recognizing we're getting a beautiful school, but I know the Thunderdome remains a major community concern. And believe me, when I drive back to Vegas tonight, I'll be on the phone with my boss to let her know of your concerns.
I appreciate that, but apparently the facilities, the construction facilities don't agree with you because they can't be here to address our concerns. That would have been a nice thing rather than just not show up.
And it's a part of their process now. They have their component to complete. And in construction projects, it is the principal who becomes the constant liaison with community. So I told you construction and facilities is not my area of expertise. I fully admit that. But having gone through several schools myself with major rehabs and construction and over several schools that have had construction projects that take several years, that is where the principal then steps in and should be the one communicating with the community and taking any concerns back.
I keep seeing a hand be raised in the back. If we could hear him, please.
I'm curious to know if we have an estimate or even exact number of the cost of the new gym by itself. I feel that the rehab estimate of $7 million is a little outrageous. I'm no expert, but I'd like to compare that to the number of the new gym.
The 18.7 is usually when they estimate the repair cost of a building includes the future operation and maintenance of that building as well. So that's one of the ways they've inflated that number.
And I know that was asked too, so I will bring back that we would like to know. Our request is to know further cost for the Thunderdome, if that were what would it cost to repair. Is it at a state that is considered by the district could be possibly repaired, or are we looking at, no, we need to replace, so some more than of the estimate. I will certainly take that back.
I'm sorry I'm being the loud mouth here, but $1 million to tear down the Thunderdome itself is a lot of money. The repairs that it should, they're saying need, wouldn't come close to that. And we would kill two birds with one stone. Right. And a year ago when they first came out here, when the head of the district was out here, which before you got the new one, they didn't have answers for us then. And we said the same things then, and we're still not getting the answers. And it's not you guys. We understand. You're doing your job as the teachers and educating our kids. But facilities, not to know this was coming on, and to get somebody out here, that's just blowing smoke up our butts about getting this community's input, because you go back and tell them yes, they want this. Oh, it's too late. We already let the contract go, or whatever. So we've had over a year of meetings with them, the same questions, and they're not answered today. And you're just telling us about the great building, which we agree. So somebody just really doesn't care about listening to us, other than lip service.
So. Can we have a meeting with them?
So the information I have is that there will be no further community meetings regarding the design of the school. But as I said, and so I'm being transparent in providing that because I don't want to leave anything behind. But
I'm talking about that building only.
But I will take that request back.
Okay. That's what we'd like to discuss with them. This is a done deal. Everybody wants to talk to them about the Thunder.
And the demo, all the demo. Ms. Perryman, in your professional opinion, what is the best course of action we as a community could take in order to get in contact with the people running the facilities and construction management?
Thank you for asking the question. By the way, our Indian Springs representative student did a fabulous job present the other day, as well as mom, at a strategic planning meeting. The district finalizes the strategic plan that will be coming out in about another month. That is our goals, our focus areas, and so forth. Did a great job representing Indian Springs and the student body for the district. Thank you for doing that, and thank you, Mark, for being there too. And so with that, the best course of action is I will take back the requests that were strongly worded. And I'm guessing that if I were to say, by raise of hands, is your number one concern then questions about Thunderdome? That way I can just say, by raise of hands, if you could let me know. That way it gives me an idea when I can come back and say the majority of the voices, okay. And so I will take that back and communicate. I am not able to get a response. I cannot force somebody to give a response, but in communicating with the boss, I will make sure that we do respond and Mr. Welch is able to communicate, or we're able to communicate to the board here an answer for that of some sort, because I don't like leaving things where it's undone, which is why I said I'm glad that Mr. Welch and I kind of get to step in as the communicators, because I know we went a long time from our April 2025 meeting and the one before that, before we had some information for you through different changes and such that have occurred. And we have to respect the process also. So now we can be the ones that you can talk to and absolutely keep asking the questions.
Thank you.
Gary?
We have a question. So, years ago, you guys didn't have a lot of water. You guys didn't have tanks. How are you going to get the school to be sprinkled for fire?
Fire. I'm sorry, could you ask that again? I was trying to listen to two different questions.
A couple years ago, you guys were having problems with the water. You say that you need like a 24-inch line to come in, and you also needed, or you guys are going to do a couple big silos of water. What was your guys' plan for today? Get that all resolved, or what are we doing?
Okay, and to make sure that I clearly understand, water to come in for the sprinkler system
for the fire system.
Safety within the school?
Yes,
okay. I will take that question back also. That has actually not come up in anything I have heard before or any discussion, so I will take that back. I know they cannot let students in a building or staff unless it's cleared for safety, and so they will have their sprinkler system within it, and I've seen ones that have gone into the current rehab for various high schools and other buildings, but I will take that back.
Yeah. I have a question. Are the classrooms going to be large enough? Because we keep getting more and more children, more and more families with children.
The classrooms will be larger classrooms than what we're in now, and we will open the school with empty classrooms. We'll have more than enough classrooms.
Could you point out where the theater is on there?
It is roughly in this space right. No, that's, sorry. That's
size.
The main entrance. It's
those
right.
Striping.
It's like this area.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
It should be right off the multi-purpose room.
Right. Well, it's right. This will be the common entrance in the morning. Okay. And so it's, yeah, it's.
So they've got that corridor outdoors that they could work in too if they had to.
Right. Yeah, there's, the school will have outdoor corridors that are covered.
That's very good.
Okay. As well as some of the features, they will also have separate walking paths for elementary, middle, high school, so that they have outside time and outside access and exercise. That's fabulous. I, at one point, had 38 schools. I didn't have one school that had that feature to it. I would love that. And as far as activities go, too, like all principals, and like I had to do, I had one of the oldest middle schools that is in the city also. We have to use our facility very creatively and truthfully. It's going to change what the use is probably within a year, as we may have opportunities for different programs. In my role with Chris, we're always discussing what additional career technical education programs we might be able to bring in, and as we are receiving and working through the strategic plan, what are the most needed careers right now in Nevada, Las Vegas, opportunities for our kids after they graduate. And by the way, that's my number one thing when our kiddos are graduating, and Indian Springs is my favorite graduation. What are you doing after high school? And looking to see what the answers are. What are they in? We also have a lot of hot careers in manufacturing right now. And we have careers that have been what is thought as a hot career that is not anymore. And we also know AI is changing the landscape for careers, and it's even changing the landscape of what high school seniors are currently deciding. I've got to abandon what I had as a choice as they go into career or education beyond high school.
So Chris and I have been talking about different things like manufacturing, which would mean we have to look at our facility and what other areas. Now, I know from the original meeting, they actually had some areas that would fit in with that quite nicely, even though we don't really have that program going on right now. So we're excited about those opportunities. Another thing that we did this year, so you know, because this is your children, your career and education opportunities for them, is Chris also partnered with one of the high schools that I support so that the students attended the career fair at that high school. Their career fair, being a large high school, is huge. Not all of the career opportunities come out to our Indian Springs career fair. That's a reality. It does not happen. So we have to go to where they are.
Drive.
Yes. So we have to go where they are. Well, that's opened an opportunity for a partnership. The seniors had a great time. The kids at the high school loved that they came in, so it's more opportunities. And I know we have a Creech Air Force Base right there, and we also know size-wise, for the school to have a ROTC program, they have to be of a certain size. And that has been a frustration back to Dr. Wiseman when I first started with him, that our size is not such that permits us to have an ROTC. Well, my high school does. And the commander there, who actually was at Creech Air Force Base, and that's where he pretty much retired out of there, and then he runs that ROTC, is more than willing to do a partnership so that we can bring in some awareness for Indian Springs for anybody who might be interested that way. And it's also another education opportunity. So I share that because I've got you as a captive audience right here also. You've got me, I've got you, because those are things that we need community support behind also. While I take back all your concerns about this, it's also good when we know we have community who's asking, hey, we want more opportunities for education in active careers that will get our kids jobs after high school or further education. It's good when I can take back the community voices.
Well, since you brought that up, yes, there are, we all know this, the careers are changing now. Has the school district talked about bringing back the shop system back at all? Where you,
shop is manufacturing. That is called manufacturing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, absolutely. It exists. It's huge. So many, correct. That's why I brought it up, and that's why I've been talking with Chris.
It used to exist there, and it was successful, but they stopped it. So I don't know why it couldn't possibly be brought up.
Well, one of the issues we run into is not bringing in programs, is we run out of students. We're small. So we run out of students to put into to the classes, but we have been looking at construction management, type of a pathway for our students. I have an idea, but I'll go through here. And bringing in, construction management. We have cybersecurity already, and we have graphic design, but we can't have all of the programs that they have in town because we do run out of kids. Because you can ask Kate, she could sit in a class with 200 kids.
We had it one time, and
right.
We had it the same.
No, and we do. We need to, our career pathways.
They
need
just don't
to.
Have it offered to them. That's
right.
That's what you're running out of.
And just for your information, because it is one of my favorite programs that I get to see across a number of schools, it is called manufacturing now, and it's exactly what we're looking at. Different aspects of construction, engineering, electrical, it is everything, welding. And in fact, one of my favorite programs at one of the career technical academies is the welding program. And I like it because I like to play with the blowtorch too and learn the process of it. But it is a very active program going on across many schools. And my other high school is actually building that. They were not fit for it either. They were also not fit for auto. But they're having to look at their facility with what they have. They cannot build a whole new auto center, but they have to look at how can they reallocate. What facility can they reallocate that is not of the highest use right now, and that's what they're doing to pull in more of an auto. So I point that out for saying the building use itself may shift as we're able to bring in different programs or the needs shift. And we have other programs in the district that are decreasing and should, because those jobs have decreased. We have a great career education department. They do meetings with the principals every year to look at the numbers of jobs that actually exist to ensure that the programs that we are providing lead into the jobs that have the highest demand.
In that matter, you saved a Thunderdome, you saved $1 million. Put that towards manufacturing classroom.
There you go.
I gotcha.
There you go.
It's referring to the Parks and Rec or the county taking over the Thunderdome.
Can you explain why it wouldn't change the plans? Like,
it wouldn't change the plans for this.
Oh, just for that, yeah. Not the Thunderdome.
Right.
Okay.
It's transferred to Parks and Rec.
Well, I don't have to. I can't give away buildings.
But well, the question is, you take responsibility for it and my building. As an employee of Clark County, it is rather difficult to achieve
that. The pool, is that staying where it's at? Are we keeping the pool?
Yes, the pool is Parks and Rec.
Okay, so that's staying where it's at?
Yes.
The park is Parks and Rec.
Okay. I think we're done with your presentation, right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate the opportunity to be here. Certainly.
Yeah, thank you. Before we end, I want to make it very clear, because I hear about social media. I don't see it, but I hear about things. I have shared all the information that I have. I promise you, I'm not withholding. I would not want to hold on to any information. I've shared everything with you. I do want to tell you that we have just opened up the discussion for how are we going to preserve the history of the original building. We're looking at digital options. We just found out that we're getting a new building. So we just started the discussion. If anyone has any ideas, we have all the trophies in storage from the last 50 years of what we can do with these. With some of these items, we won't have the space for that to move everything. But we are looking at digitizing, having a display, maybe doing a sort of a dedication area that sort of preserves the original building. As a lot of you know, I came from Las Vegas High School, which is just as historical as this school.
By the way, he came from the new Las Vegas High School.
Yeah.
I am from the original Las Vegas High School.
But we worked very hard with their alumni association to make sure that the history of the school was preserved. There was a whole alumni room that had the sidewalk display from the original school. So we want to do something like that to make sure that the original school is preserved and recognized.
With all the new building going up, can we maybe get a new announcer's booth for the football field? That's an original announcer's booth from when it was down where the baseball field and the park is. And it's ancient. The lights don't work half the time. They got to go out every year and fix them. And that would help out at least a little bit more.
I will certainly take that back. And by the way, I'm smiling too because I'm hearing echoes of Dr. Wiseman's request now in my ear. That's bringing it back. So I'll take that one back as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're going to have a report, a presentation from Olivia Burns. From the Environmental Sustainability.
Well, hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Olivia Burns. I'm an environmental specialist with Clark County's Department of Environment and Sustainability. I have my colleague Shay here as well. We just wanted to come out and give you an overview of our sustainability and climate action plan that the county adopted in 2023, some of our priorities for the next few years for implementation, and how we could get Indian Springs involved. We hope to be invited back if you guys have any community events, if you want us to do presentations at the schools, any resource fairs or anything like that, we'd be happy to come back and share our resources with our community. We also have a survey out, so there's a flyer up there on the desk, and then I'll talk about it later on in the presentation, basically about resources that you guys want to see relating to some climate impacts, urban heat, tree giveaways that we have, wildfires, any concerns with air quality, stuff like that. So to begin, so all in is our sustainability plan. Like I said, it's adopted in 2023. We started the planning process in 2019. We started this because of the climate hazards we face here in Clark County and all of Southern Nevada. So extreme heat, Vegas is the second fastest warming city behind Reno. We know that 100% of Clark County is in drought conditions. Lake Mead is at its lowest capacity in history. This year we'll see the least amount of snowfall from the Colorado River, so be prepared for an extremely hot summer this year. Flooding, we see that a lot as well. We're getting more frequent flooding and more intense flooding as well, so that leads to pavement buckling. Hard to get to places if you have just one way in, one way out. And then wildfires, we do have some occurring here in Clark County, but most of the time we see the effects from Arizona and California and neighboring states. When they have wildfires, we see all the impacts from the smoke and leads to poor air quality in our region. So our department has three divisions, so air quality, sustainability, and desert conservation. I'm just going to define some items for you. So a sustainable Clark County balances resource efficiency, social well-being, while equitably meeting the needs of our economy. And then a resilient Clark County supports residents, businesses, and visitors to be successful and healthy and adaptable to these changing climate conditions. And I'll take questions at the end, but me and Shay will be here till the whole time. So if you have, you know, anything you want to chat about afterwards, we'd be happy to. So our plan focuses on six key areas. So we have energy, transportation, waste, water, resilient healthy communities, and buildings. Some of our priorities over the next few years when we start implementing our sustainability plan, we are focused on regional collaborations. So with Clark County and the five incorporated cities, so Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, Mesquite, Boulder City, and Henderson, we have an agreement for regional coordination. So this helps get more grants if we're all working together, organizing on planning and implementation. All the areas we said that we are all lacking on outline area outreach. And so we want to come out to the communities more and participate. Like I said, if you have community events and fairs or presentations at schools, I just did a presentation today for a second grade class for Career Week. So it's a lot of fun going out and teaching people about the careers available for Clark County relating to our environment. One of our focus areas is resilience and heat mitigation. So we have our Stay Cool Clark County program. So this focuses on our cooling center. So actually, so the Las Vegas Library District, so this library here, and there's 48 facilities. So it's libraries and Clark County community centers that act as a cooling station where you could go get heat relief when it's too hot outside, if your AC doesn't work, if you don't want to spend money, you know, cranking up your AC during the summer and you want to go do some programs at the library or community centers. So we built that partnership up with the library district just a few years ago. Our most fun program is our community canopy, which is our tree giveaway program, and we actually just opened it up to rural areas this year. So in the fall time, you could get a tree delivered direct mail to your house. All desert adaptive native plants, so right now we have pomegranate, peach, mesquite, Palo Verde, and so this is with the Arbor Day Foundation, so we give out 4,500 trees every year. We also host a community tree giveaway, so if you guys were interested in hosting one, we definitely, you know, can bring trees out here for your community. This is a really easy program to get involved in. You just visit our website, so staycoolclarkcounty.com, You type in your address, and it shows you an aerial view of your residential property, shows you where you could plant a tree for the biggest impact for energy efficiency savings when the tree is fully grown. And then we provide a bunch of support to keep your tree healthy and maintained. So that's a really fun program. We do have, I think, 20 trees left for our spring giveaway. So if you're fast tonight and you want to go claim one, you definitely can. But if not, we do the program twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. Another area of focus is alternative fuels. So we focus on 7 designated clean fuels from the Department of Energy. Electric is being one of them that we promote a lot. So we host electric vehicle ride and drive. So basically we invite local dealerships out to community. They have different vehicles that communities can test drive, so they don't have that sales pressure of being at an actual dealership where you could just learn about the vehicles and this new technology, test drive different vehicles as well, also e-bikes, e-scooters. And we do a lot of public and active transportation events too, so bike rides, learning how to ride the bus, stuff like that. Another area that I'm mostly focused on is education outreach. So we have a whole entire education outreach team that goes out to the community, tables at events, does presentations for schools, businesses, different organizations. We have a monthly webinar series, as you can see here. There's also a flyer in the library. So this is free, open to the public. It's live streamed, so you just have to, you know, go on the website and you can watch the presentation. They're all recorded and available on our website as well. So we have 500 different presentations we've done over the last few years relating to desert trees, energy efficiency, some local businesses, and different programs that we have relating to our climate. So we're here today, again, for our survey that we have out. We wanted to hear more about your concerns relating to severe weather changes, any environmental shifts that have impacted your daily livelihood or your businesses, so flooding, extreme heat, drought, wildfire, anything like that. What infrastructure is most vulnerable to extreme weather, so power lines, internet, roads, any opportunities you'd like to see for your community, solar or wind, and any training or presentations for any age or if you want to implement these sustainable practices, and then how you'd like the county to provide these resources for you. So we do have a survey, so you could scan the code or you go to our website. Again, there's flyers up there, and you might have a flyer at your table. So we have this open till June, so if you could please, there's only a few questions on there. It might take you 5 minutes to complete. It's anonymous unless you want to add your email to it, and then the email's for a raffle, so we're giving out 4 $50 gift cards. E-gift card, so you could claim it for a certain restaurant or business or Amazon or anything like that. So we'll take your feedback over the next few months, so after June. So we're going to all the rural areas and presenting. Yesterday we're in Searchlight and Laughlin, and we have other ones coming up as well. And then going to these community events, hopefully, you know, during the summer or fall or whenever you have them. And then if you're interested in more, you know, wildfire mitigation, or the tree program, electric vehicles, energy efficiency resources for your home. So we have a full guide on that as well. We come back out to the community in the fall, and hopefully, you know, with your feedback, give you some more meaningful areas for contribution. But that's all I have for today. Like I said, happy to answer any questions, as well, stay till the end of the advisory board meeting, so if you want to chat about anything specific, if you don't want to, you know, talk about it out loud. Here's our events page, the QR code for the survey, and then our social media is a really good way to stay updated on when we do different community events or virtual webinars that you could join from your home, or the tree giveaway program, so you can know when it's announced, you could go claim your tree. Any questions? Go ahead.
We were guessing if this is biodegradable or plastic.
Oh, that is funny. I don't think so. Nope. That is definitely something to work on.
Okay.
So we do have some car air fresheners up at the front that just come in a plastic sleeve.
I do have a question. And this is kind of a long shot. This is just going to throw it out there.
Go ahead.
We have a huge problem with keeping a certain area of our town clean. We have a lot of illegal dumping, and is that something you guys would be able to help with? Like maybe community cleanups here and there? Or
oh, absolutely. Yeah, we would be happy to do community cleanups. So we do, there's a program, it's called Adopt the Spot that we do. So we would adopt a spot in your area, and we pledge to clean it up 4 times a year. So we'd come out with our team and volunteers, and the community would be able to do it as well. And then we'd have all the supplies, and we could do that. And then we could also share resources if you see illegal dumping, that you could report it as well.
And would that be something that our liaison would go through, or would it be Parks and Rec, or would it be just a community member? How would we go about that?
I could, for the cleanups, mm-hmm. I could definitely work with, you know, the liaison to host those as well, especially we could schedule some for the fall. Summer is a little too warm sometimes, so we don't go out and do the cleanups in the summer, but we usually do like 2 in the spring, 2 in the fall for that Adopt the Spot program.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so we'd be happy to come out. We do a lot of cleanups. Go ahead.
So, this community cleanup, this spot that you're mm-hmm. talking about, would that be public property, that sort of thing, or could we spot a private piece of property?
Mm-hmm. If you get permission from that private spot.
If you got permission from that private property?
Then.
Whoa.
Did you hear that?
Is there a private residence? I didn't see anything when we drove in. Okay, I will keep my eye out tonight. It might be too dark, but we'll see. Okay.
It really will be too dark.
Gotcha.
And it's not easy, quite honestly, it's not easy to see from the highway, but once you see it,
The garbage patch, yeah. No, we would
be. It's been a bone of contention for a long time, and Metro's hands are tied because it is private property.
Yeah.
My hands aren't tied.
Yeah, even if we need to, sometimes for our cleanups, we rent a dumpster, especially if it's a large amount. We also do invasive species removal, so if you have any Sahara mustard or tamarisk out here, we could do that. And then also for the schools, since I know you guys are having a new school built, we do tree plantings at schools as well. So, principal, if you want some trees for your school, definitely let us know. But
do you run the irrigation for the trees planted at the school?
No, that would be the school. So some of the schools have like a environmental or earth club, and then they would be, or a community garden that they would take care of all of that for.
Do you offer any kind of homeschool programs? Or programs for homeschool families?
We do presentations. So, yeah, if a homeschool group, usually, like, they would meet at a library or community center, we'd come out and we could do different presentations, what they want or focused on. Like I said, our desert conservation program will bring, like, desert tortoise shells and bird taxidermy, so it'll be a lot of fun and engaging for students to learn more about desert environment as well. And then we also do tours. So if you wanted like a school tour for our air quality monitoring stations or students to learn more about air quality, we could definitely set that up. And I mean, it is a bit out of the way, like 45-minute drive. But we do have school programs that we work with too.
I don't think you're talking about sustainable energy. Does Clark County benefit from the thousands of solar panels that are around the whole valley? North, south, 15 coming out here. Do we actually get anything from it?
So most of the solar panels that are just dispersed in the desert go to California. You'd have to look at who's the purchaser of it. And I know there's some solar folks in the audience who will probably talk more about that for you today. So you'll learn about that. Rooftop solar is your biggest bang for your buck when it does to you. And if you see solar on community centers or parking lots, then that's going to power that building. All right, well, thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. No, he's not. He's not. We just didn't like God's not here.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right on. No, he did tell me he's going to be here. So in my defense. No, that was Jonathan.
No, we can skip that one.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to receive a report from Indian Springs Library this time.
Good evening.
evening, everyone. My name is Chris Singer. I am a library associate out here at the Indian Springs Library. I love that I have such a large captive audience. We have a ton of programs. Quick reminder, all of our programs are free and for the public, so please take advantage of them. Starting this Thursday, April 23rd at 5 p.m., we're having one of our locals come out and teach a card-making class. I'm sure most of you have encountered Randy. She is an amazing card maker, and she's going to be teaching us to make a birthday card, a Mother's Day card, which we all know is coming up, and a Just Because card, because why not? We also are still continuing our True Crime Headquarters. This is an adults and 18 and over program. This will be Wednesday, April 29th at 5 p.m. This will be the last of our mob. So we've done 3 months of mob. This one is going to be the New York Five Families. We encourage you to dress up. We get a chance to. We'd love to see everybody else. Come out, enjoy, and talk crime. We are still continuing our chess skills. Every Thursday at 2:30, we have an open chess. We will teach you to play chess. We encourage you. We have everyone from 4 years old and up. I can tell you today, we had a 5-year-old absolutely kick our librarian's butt.
Oh my gosh.
So much fun. We still offer kids free lunches every day we're open. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, that's from 2:30 to 4:30, and on Saturdays from 1 to 3. Literally, the kids can come in, tell us their name, and they get a free lunch that is a balanced meal. Free yoga classes continue every Tuesday at 10 a.m. We ask that you just sign, follow and click the little QR code, sign up, and show up. We have mat yoga and chair yoga. Our yoga teacher is amazing. She will cater any and all moves to your specific needs, and she listens very well. The center is someone we are partnering with. It is a medical mobile unit. They come out every month. They will be out here next May 27th. They have a general practicing doctor who comes out. They do HIV and hepatitis C and all sorts of other tests. If you need someone who just sees you for blood work and medication refills, this will do it. It will be out here in the parking lot in a big van. We partner with Clark County to have the vehicle here. Please come out and see them. We are still continuing our Saturday food pickup in partnership with Celestial Manna. This is something that benefits our community amazingly. We start it at 11:30 and it goes till 2:25, pardon me, and we open it again at 3 p.m. This, you don't have to give us your income or anything like that. It's an honor system. You come up, you tell us your name, you give us a number of how many in your house, and you get to have free food. Mobile printing, one of the things we've been asking for forever from the library district, we finally have it. You no longer have to get on our computer and sign in and remember your email password. If it's on your phone, you can literally scan a QR code or email it to an email we have readily available, put your name on it, and we can print it for you. Big thing that I'm going to give a huge shout out is this next week with the Library District is Customer Appreciation Week. We look forward to this every year because we get to touch base with all of you. So our Customer Appreciation Day is Tuesday, April 21st, all day long. We have so many fun programs and raffles to give out. Our programs are yoga in the morning, we're doing a propagation and planting workshop, we're doing pick a plant bingo, and we're having a microscope activity for all the kids, which, by the way, is probably one of my favorites, so you don't have to be a kid to enjoy it. You get raffle tickets just for coming in, you get a raffle ticket for participating in any of our programs, and you get a ticket for filling out our survey to tell us how we can do better. I have flyers for both the Customer Appreciation Day and the Mobile Health Clinic, and if you have any questions, please call us at the library, stop by, or stop me before I leave tonight. I'd gladly answer any of them. Thank you so much.
Comments? Yes. As someone who's been here since the library was in a little tiny trailer on the McFarland, mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to what we have now.
Thank you. We love doing it.
Okay, now we will have a report from the Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Gary Judd. I'm the station chief here at the Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. So far this year, we ran 50 calls. We had a couple fires. The other day, we had a vehicle fire, a motorcycle fire down at Terribles. My other thing I always complain about, you guys are going to burn your limbs and vegetation, please call me. Because I don't want to show up and be not so nice. So,
no surprise, don't let you show up either.
I know. We're also doing baseball concessions. This weekend we're not going to have it, but starting maybe next Saturday after next, we'll be all there. Maybe get some of the families to go to this free medical thing. That would help.
Yeah.
So, any questions?
How are we looking on the 4th of July?
4th of July, we need to have a meeting to get some more help. We need a lot of help.
Help as in volunteers to help
volunteers
organize,
and maybe
vendors.
Somebody to take over to do like maybe a raffle, or I know the seniors would maybe do drinks and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Cheers.
Yeah. Non-alcoholic drinks. How's that?
Food.
The fire department, we're going to try to get John Moles to do it. So.
So you're looking for volunteers to help with fundraising, is that right?
Fundraising, anything, yes. Any other questions?
Yes. Do you have a comment to make tonight for solar?
Yes. I am greatly thankful for the donations you guys have given us. Our town board members have tried to get up with this for the money that was supposed to be for the town, and you guys have went above and beyond, and I want to say thank you. Anything else you want to do?
It's up to you, Gary.
Okay. But we'd like to take a picture with you guys with some of our equipment and my Dean, you're coming up too. And Teresa.
Okay.
I got it all under control.
What do I get to hold?
Right in there.
Oh, there you go. You have to wear the hat.
All right. Good.
Come on.
Explain what you've got there in your hands.
So we have wands for traffic out there on the highway. It's you know, everybody knows this. It's freaking dark out there, and these guys do not slow down. And this should help with us. We also have we got these guardian. We put them on our turnouts so that we are seen too. And we got our thermal imager.
Yeah.
To see just about anything. So then we also have our irons, our Allegan and our axe. So we got a couple sets of these. So thank you guys. And we got a bunch of gloves, so for extrication.
Gloves are cut-proof, needle-proof, and if the person has blood on them and so forth, it does not get to their hands.
We got some. They also got some helmet lights.
Okay. Right. That model also has on the back of it, as they enter a building, on the back side, there's a green light. So even in the smoke, they see the green light. They know one of them is in front of them.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Now. now we're going to have a really great report from the Metropolitan Police Department. Well, before he runs up, I want to say thank you to the seniors for helping with that presentation and helping us get that equipment. Almost forgot that. Sorry. Yeah, that's cool.
Oh. That's right.
What's up, party people?
Frank, it is.
Yeah.
One thing before I get started. You've heard this one before. It applies again. If we're going to be here this long, there should be an intermission. We need snacks.
Yeah. Right? I brought snacks. I don't know.
Right there.
There's about, if we divide it, we got about 2.3 pieces for everybody. So
there you go.
There
should
we
have
go.
Been here
just,
we
a thought, yeah. just a thought. Been here a while. The kids are falling asleep. So.
Trucks are falling down. All right. Since January 1st, 86 area, 358 calls. 467, or no, those are our 400 codes. You don't care about that. Person stops, vehicle stops, 59, 44 of which have resulted in tickets. Sorry if that was you. And then for the mountain side, 836 events, proactive events, 219, 194 of those resulted in tickets or arrests. All right, since our last meeting, which was March 12th, I think, we had the Indian Springs cleanup on March 21st at the old dump area. That was all Officer Taylor's doing. He championed that one. Got that happen.
Woohoo!
Oh, hey, you're here! All right, then we had, this is actually a really cool event. I've never been a part of this one before. We had the Bonanza High School Operational Field Day up on the mountain on Lee Canyon side. All the students from Bonanza High School that are looking to get right into our line of work, forestry, fire, policing, in a sense, if you make it to our section, search and rescue types of things. It was, 10-hour day? It was about a 10-hour day. Yeah, 13 hours for us to set up, but it was great. Really good turnout. We didn't have a single issue with the Rebel Marathon. We had just a minor event, no big deal, just that opening day baseball parade. That was pretty awesome. I don't want to take your thunder. You got this.
Thank you.
If you're coming up, so. We had a couple Careers on Wheels events. Oh, did anybody drive by and see the Nevada Desert Experience Sacred Peace Walk?
Yes.
Say hi to us. Did you see the land speed record?
No.
Yeah. Get off our road. 3 minutes, done. Oh, last thing I have. No, actually, two more things. She didn't want to come.
Yeah.
I told her she didn't want to come. She's not here.
She doesn't like
you. She doesn't. Well, not you. She doesn't like anything, but it's not you.
Oh,
so she's going to get real mad when she sees her gift, too. So we did get her something. What we were talking about is Officer Adria Ford is retiring. 20 years of service with the LVMPD. She leaves on April 25th. Also, we have witnesses. Some of the officers are here. They clap for her. Yeah, she's good people. And we are getting a one-for-one replacement instantly, same day. Officer Adam Marco is coming, so it's great. Love it. And my last note, very important, probably the most important thing we're going to talk about is the Golden Knights are in the class. That's all I got.
All right.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Anything?
I'm good.
Great.
Yeah. Another question.
Oh, sir!
Last month, did you guys partner up with NHP? Indian Springs.
No.
I've seen quite a bit of them going in our town last month.
Do you know where the new officer lives?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Two officers that have come to the team that works up here live at the bottom of the mountain. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Are
there
for
yeah.
What?
Oh. Is that good?
That's good. No,
oh. Hey, remember, the silver ones can chase you. Yeah, the silver ones can chase you, and we can too now. Our policy changed, so.
Hey.
Can you explain that further, please? It is situational, and with all things that are new, there's some misinterpretation of policy, so some of the officers are embellishing on reasons why they can pursue. It just kind of, it used to be, no, we can't. It has to be very serious. Super dangerous that we are going to chase this person. But then there's follow-up policies. It's, well, are they identified? Do we have undercover units watching them? If we know these types of things, then we're also not going to chase. There's a couple different things that change. And now a lot of it is, yeah, we might know who it is, but now's the time. And it depends on threat level. There's a couple different things. Almost like a yes-no questionnaire when we can't. But they open it up for us. So my wife's the analyst, one of the analysts for Metro. So we were laughing. So the report came out, and we had 13 pursuits last year total. Since the new policy started in March, we're up to 73. That's all I can say on that. So our trucks are pursuit rated. They are fast, very fast.
Does that include the desert?
We can go pretty fast in the desert. Okay. Yeah, they're enhanced. That's nice. What? Why are you giving away the secrets, Dean?
They do go off the desert. I watched Officer Adrian do that, chasing a man out the desert.
Yeah. Zeros in Ozuna, always try to get lost. Yeah.
Please be careful, because Officer McClary didn't end up so good. He chased someone.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
That's right.
Thanks. Man, oh, yeah. Okay, no highway patrol tonight. Preach Air Force Base. Is Nick here? No. Okay. Preach Air Force Base Fire Department. No. Clark County Parks and Rec.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Well, I'm going to start with what the sergeant pointed out. We had our opening day of baseball, and we had a pretty nice parade. I think it turned out pretty good. We had 8 teams, so you had all those cars in there. We had Station 83, we had Metro, we had Preach, we had Highway Patrol, and CCSEPD involved. So that was something new. I was very excited about it, and we'll be back doing that for football in the fall. Last month, we held our Springtime Bazaar. It was the same day as the cleanup, so it kind of split everyone up. But all in all, it went really well. The vendors were really happy, which is what's important to us. And they're looking forward to coming back in November. We're currently still running toddler play date every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11. This is for kids age 0 to pre-K. They can bring older siblings with them because some of them are homeschooled, so they bring their siblings with them. It's just an open play for the kids. Sometimes we have a craft. No work for the parents. The parents can just kind of sit back and let their kids play. They don't have to clean up. They don't have to do anything. And this is also a free event. Every Wednesday, we have coffee talk with Miss Mary. That starts at 10:30. This is for people of all ages. Generally, it's our seniors that come out, but anyone can come out and enjoy this. We do currently have baseball season running on Saturdays, though this week we don't have our minors, 11 to 14 missing coaches. We have no t-ball games because hand, foot, and mouth seems to be making its way through the pre-Kers right now, so we don't have any t-ball games. We will have our 8 to 10 year olds playing from 6 to 7:15. Then we'll be back the next weekend, regular schedule with the kids. On the note about sports, today I just posted that we are in need of flag football coaches, and I'm happy to say that within a couple hours I have almost all of the coaches that I need for flag football. So
awesome.
I get very lucky. I have a lot of the parents out here that are very involved, and I'm hoping we have as good of a turnout for flag football as we did baseball, because baseball had 96 kids sign up, and 52 of those are the age 4 to 7. So that's a big number for us out here. Because how many kids do we have in the school, Mr. Welch? How many kids do we have in elementary? 100 and something?
A little over 100.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good turnout for us. Keep your eyes open, because we are going to be having an upcoming Mother's Day craft. So those are always, you know, a big hit for us. We're waiting on our newest team member to join us in the next couple weeks. And once she's here, we're going to start working on our homeschooling program. That's been a big request. The library used to do it. It kind of came out, you know, left for them. So we want to bring that out, and we will partner with the library on certain topics like science and stuff like that. But we do have a pretty good homeschooling community out here. So we just want to give them a place where they don't always have to go into town. And the last thing I'd like to do is introduce my new supervisor out of Mountain Crest. His name is Elmer Lopez. So I'm going to let him come up and have a chat with you for a second.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elmer Lopez. I just a little background. I've been with the county for about 13 years. I am from a rural town.
So I live in Logandale, but I will be working with you guys. I'm excited. I see the community is growing, and you guys have a lot of opportunity to offer fun things. So I'm here to back Tracy up and get her the resources she needs. With that, I did bring out a little survey. Instead of me kind of doing guesswork on what you guys want in your communities and what resources I can provide to you and what kind of programs you're looking for, please fill these out. Kind of narrows down my window of vision so I can start focusing on getting you guys what you want and, you know, for all ages, seniors, youth, teens, whatever. I'm here to make it happen.
And now is your chance to tell them how bad I am at my job.
No.
Yeah. Help save the phone call.
She said, "Give me a survey." Does anyone have any questions?
No.
Okay, I'm done. Oh, what? Oh.
When the surveys are filled out, where do they go?
It's a QR code, so you just scan it on your phone and pull it out.
Yeah, okay. They'll go to me, I'll put them on Facebook too. All right, so it goes out to more than just everyone in this room, right? I'm gonna try to get as wide variation of the community as I can. And then that way, you know, it'll help me, you know, tell my providers too. It's like, hey, this is what they want. What can I do to make that happen?
Okay, now we have a report from our Clark County Administrative Services.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Michelle Barrett. I am the representative for Commissioner April Becker here for District C. Please disregard Jamie and I were freezing up here because the air conditioning is blowing right on it, so I'll probably warm up now. All the news that's fit to print, we have newsletters over there. If there's run out, looks like they might have run out, make sure to go ahead and scan the QR code on that big page back there. You can get it direct to your inbox. And so it'll give you everything that's going on. We had Country Fest. If anybody made it out, it was phenomenal. The biggest turnout we've had. It was fantastic. And we ran out of food. We had John Moles. So we were talking about John Moles out there. So it was fantastic. As you know, we do have our farmers market that we do at Mountain Crest, the second and fourth Fridays. And so we invite you to come out. There's food, entertainment, and come out, have dinner, and enjoy a beautiful evening. They're from 4 to 8, so it's Friday after work. Come on down and enjoy. Some follow-up for my sisters over here. I have good news and bad news. I know. Good news is I finally found out who does the kiosks, because exactly, I found a contact. We're actually out of Indiana. Don't ask. and so I talked to Mr. Kyle and said, hey, you know, how do we get a kiosk out there? And he goes, you have to have a minimum 800 transactions a month to get a kiosk. Which, exactly, I see. Miss Patricia, yeah, that's not going to happen, unfortunately. So that is a wah-wah. It's not going to happen for us. But the good news is our Indian Springs welcome sign is on its way.
Yes.
I'll be picking up the panels, and so I know I had sent that to Jamie. Mm-hmm. The thing that we have to do, I know we have a collection of the different entities, and so we have to find a printer to go ahead and make those designs, but they have to be approved first. So that should be coming. If we get those panels turned around pretty quickly, the sign will be coming, and that will be replaced. It'll be both directions. So that will be coming hopefully very soon.
Over 2 years of working on that.
We're getting there. And then park lighting. I'm going to read it right here. We have visors on order for the new playground lights that will help shield the sides and top, preventing light from projecting outward and directing it towards where it is needed downward. And they also have a project underway to replace all the basketball court, skate park lighting with new Musco fixtures. Don't ask me what those really are. That direct light downward only. Okay, so those should be coming so that Teresa will not be blinded in her house. Route 202, I know I had a gentleman here last month that talked about the potholes over there. We did get some maintenance out there, went and checked it out, so I know that there was a little bit. I'm getting a head nod over there by Harrison that there was some.
They did some potholes.
Okay, they did some potholes. Perfect. Perfect. And otherwise, the big thing I have noted on here is snacks. So
so we'll have to get, if it's salty sweet, let me know. We'll have a
no
collection.
No donuts.
Maybe we can get Kanani to make something.
Oh, that is true. Okay.
I'm talking to you, Kaya.
Exactly. Did you hear that?
I don't think she did. I said maybe we can get Kanani to make something.
There we go. Any questions for me tonight?
I do.
Otherwise, I see Miss Jamie. I got two Jamies. Jamie.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I need to make a note for someone, a couple someones.
Okay.
That I've been getting a ton of complaints about the park gravel when you first come. Yes.
That kitty litter that you guys put out there is a bummer.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but okay. Kitty litter. Gravel.
Okay.
Yes. Your tires kind of spin when you come first pull onto it. And then I've also...
So right at the entrance, like right when you're going... Okay.
The whole gray strip, it's
okay.
Awful.
Got it.
And then also... Like, I think when you first started, we spoke about a comment box, some kind of.
Okay.
And we
okay.
haven't touched on it since, but okay. I've been getting asked about one.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for the reminder on that one. Okay. Jamie.
I'd just like a reminder that OHV travel roads and trails and the walking paths that we should start concentrating on, put that on the forefront for our walking people that walk on McFarland and Boulder to school. And the horse people, as well as your off-road people. So I'm going to hand this mapping to you and send that to Ava. So we can maybe, I don't know if you're allowed to have committees anymore, but
you
need to start them for that.
For the walking trails?
Yeah.
It's been a request at multiple meetings for some kind of, not necessarily paved, but like gravel walkways along the main roads for...
I gotcha. Okay.
Instead of sidewalks,
correct. Instead of not sidewalks, but just kind of like graveled walking paths, because right now it's just raw desert and.
It's blacktop.
They usually do like an asphalt path and do not.
Correct.
We do not have that, or we do have that.
We don't.
We need it. Okay. Got it.
Especially the more residents that we have. That come to town.
And specifically along, and you're going to have a map for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Schoolway. Okay. Anything else? Okay. I know we've still got a few fun presentations coming up. Thank you all for being here tonight. This is a great turnout. Please make sure to continue to come back. Peyton, thank you so much for being here tonight. Please do bring some of your classmates as well, because you can see there's a lot of information. Well, there we go. Thank you.
As soon as walking past the teacher and Mr. Bussell, I've seen the student, the pedestrian, and the driver. I've experienced it, and I'll tell you, it's treacherous to walk on those roads, and it's treacherous to drive on those roads to avoid pedestrians who don't have much of a choice in a walking path. So that was greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
She's not wrong.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, now we're at planning and zoning. Diamond Construction, Indian Springs.
Good evening, Jennifer Lazovich, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. Last name is Lazovich. We are your only planning and zoning item on the agenda tonight. There has been a project that is previously approved at McFarland and Boulder. It is for a multifamily apartment project. The item on the agenda tonight is the first extension of time, so we're not asking to change anything, but we are asking for the first extension of time, and staff is recommending approval. I would be happy to answer any questions.
So everything on the project, if I may say this, is already in process.
Yes.
And all you're asking for tonight is just an extension of time for the process you already have and passed through the county.
That is correct.
Okay. Any questions for that?
Are they waiting for
extension of time on the project they already have? They need an extension of time. That's all she's discussing.
Which one is the apartment or the apartment?
The apartment.
The one
So, yes, if there is no question for her on this matter of the extension.
What is the, why do you need the extension? Why haven't you started construction and it's all been approved?
Just the number, I guess it's twofold. A, there are a lot of projects that this developer is working on in general, number one. Number two, every project in the county, you don't do your studies first, you do them if you receive land use approval. So on the backside, we have to do the studies, whether it's drainage study, traffic studies, things like that. Water obviously plays into it. We have to get water to the site. And so a combination of all of those things puts us in a position where we need an extension.
And do you have water rights for there?
Do we have water rights? No.
Okay.
How long is the time period for the extension?
I think it's 2 years. That's typical.
So it'll be another 2 years before you start building?
No, that gives, I mean, in a perfect world, we would start building before that, but the application extension is for 2 additional years.
So if there's no other questions, board will vote on it.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The board approves your extension.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we have almost to the last part of public comments. General business with Mr. Levi Cox from Renewable Energy and the Solar Project.
Folks, thank you for letting us come here tonight. We just wanted to give you a bit of an update. It's been a few months, a while. I know we've been coming to the meetings, but we haven't really given an update on the project. As some of you might know, about roughly a year ago in July, you know, with the change in the administration and the change in policies, the project was held up with the Department of Interior. Recently, within the last 2 weeks, that has now been let go, along with several other projects in the state of Nevada. So that project is now moving forward again with the Bureau of Land Management. They're processing the project. We're very happy about that. Essentially, what that's done, though, is the project's about It's a year behind. It's 10 months delay, but it's a year behind at this point. And so what we're seeing in our discussions with the BLM is they're saying that the final environmental impact statement that we were expecting last August, I believe, is now most likely going to be middle of July or August of this year. And so, like I said, almost a year. And so everything has been slid out from that point. We're still moving forward with the project. As you can tell, we're still very actively engaging with you folks here in the community, and we're still doing our best to move forward where we can despite some of the delays and the slowdowns. I didn't have a 30-minute presentation for you guys. Thank goodness, it's after 8. But what we're looking to do when the final EIS does get published, we'll be back out here at the next meeting to give you guys the update based on what was published and get that feedback from you at that time. So is there any questions that I can answer for you this evening?
Do you want to make one comment, sir? There has been several things you've done for this community.
I was getting ready to do the same thing. You beat me to it.
Well,
no, you go
right
for
there.
It. You started.
Okay. One is a project in the kitchen, correct?
No.
Oh, that wasn't you. Sorry. That wasn't you. But for the school, the students received...
I can speak to that a little bit. In a few weeks, we'll be... And actually, the institution comes after the meeting. We'll be presenting 2 scholarships for the Indian school.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're really excited to be able to do that. I think it was the second year. I started with the company 3 months ago, so I wasn't here for the last award ceremony, but we're really excited to see that.
Yeah.
So I'll be back here.
Yeah. That was $5,000 last year. I think that was split between two students, and then this year it's the same, $5,000 split between two students. And like Francisca said, she's coming back out in a couple of weeks for that piece.
They also got us the hams for the food pantry for Christmas.
That and our fire department. We totally appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
To piggyback off that, not only have they shown up for we had the National Night Out.
Yeah.
They showed up for the grand opening, I believe, also for the park. Mm-hmm. This company, despite how most of us feel about solar companies, this company has really gone above and beyond to show us that they're here to be a part of the town. They show up to every meeting, even when they have nothing to report. I don't even know where they're driving from, but they're here religiously, and we appreciate that more than we can voice.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm going to take my hat off as a developer, and I'm going to go off script here. I'm involved in my own communities in Eastern Washington. That's where I'm at. I have lived down in Arizona in the past. But this is an amazing community. You guys have an amazing turnout tonight. You guys are very engaged. You care about your young people and where they're going, and it's just amazing to see your guys' engagement. It's very encouraging. So that's, I'm going to put my hat back on, but thank you all for what you do.
Okay, now we have comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board. With the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item tonight. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker podium if you really want to get up there and say something. And mention your name, your address, so forth. Any member of the board or the chairman may expressly give you more time if necessary. Anyone? Maybe.
Jamie Brown, 217 East Winston Lane, Indian Springs. Good evening, everyone. I've become brave enough to share what we're trying to accomplish with others because we need to support others to make a big common sense problem go away. Communication in person is great with the school district, and I recommend that we take a field trip at the next, when the facilities come out, if they do come out, we take a field trip and let them see what we have as a community. And all we have is this one building. So my choice, when they implode the school down there, that they need to be chosen wisely what buildings they do implode. Go ahead and keep the Thundercoat. Keep the cafe cafeteria. Keep the theater. Keep the K-5 building, turn it into a new public library. Wouldn't that be nice to have room to do yoga classes in there? So you could rehab that K-5 building. Keep your pre-K in there. The playground is there. The facility is there. Keep them in a safe environment. That whole block could be a whole safe environment. Our community park is beautiful, but it's out here on the edge of the desert. We don't have a good safety net. Our fire department is here. Our metro is here. I say give this building back to them and go ahead and build the recreation and community center back down there at the school and rehab those buildings and make them last another 100 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else tonight?
Yes, we don't mind. Can anybody? Oh, yeah.
You can make it. You got new knees, bro.
New knees, shoulders, and hips. What are you talking about?
Philip Frank, I live here. I live here. In regards to this young lady that said something about the community cleanup, and we asked about the private property, get that permission, I'd like to know if the town board could perhaps do something about getting permission. Maybe you could designate somebody that would be willing to talk to the owners of that property over there and see if we could get permission to have a community, one of the community cleanup events over there to clean up this eyesore that we've been talking about for a long time. I know you gentlemen would like to see something done, but we just can't go over there and do it ourselves. We'd like to. But if we could do that, is there something that you could do about that? Could we put that on an agenda about seeing about get that done? Contacting the owners of that property over there, see if they would allow a community cleanup to take place?
Yes.
That's a yes. That's, I got one yes.
Are you looking for a vote?
I mean, we can't vote on it. No, I'm not. You tell me to go back home.
Bill, I will look it up myself.
Thank you. If you need some, too, let me know.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Kaya Pinkerton. I live at 33 West Boulder Lane. I am student body president at our high school here, and I am very happy to announce that our council, our Indian Springs Student Council, is hosting our very own adult prom Saturday, April 25th. It is going to be here, actually, from 6 to 8 p.m., and we are offering babysitting for kids ages 5 through 12. You do have to register before you can attend, or else you will not be able to have your ticket. We are selling tickets from our banker at our school, and we will also be selling tickets at the door. Our council wanted to put something fun on for the adults of the community, and just something so the adults can get out, have fun, and kind of relive their when they were young. No age limit on this. Just
what's a dress code?
Dress code, formal dress code. We will have a mocktail bar, Peyton, if you want to elaborate on that.
Cool, can I stand up and see who's up under?
Yes.
All right, so I would really love to see all of the wonderful community members at our first ever adult prom. I will be running the mocktail bar, absolutely no alcohol, because trying to keep it appropriate, but still have you relive some fun, enjoy some fun flavors, get into the spirit of your youth, and remember the days when you could boogie and not be cracking your kneecaps.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to double check with her. For anyone who has children that they're bringing to this event to be babysat, do they need to be potty trained?
Yes, so our babysitting is from ages 5 through 12. And we'll be using...
Let me expand on that. It's not technically babysitting.
Yeah.
So if you're coming to the adult prom and you're bringing your children between the age of 5 and 12, we will have an open rec in the rec room. We will have our employees back there with the kids. We'll have the switches, the leaves. We'll have games. We'll have stuff going back there. And they have to be 5 to 12.
What about the kids that are between 50 and 55?
You're over here on this side.
You're here.
We will also have some of our council members back there with your children as well. Just so that also gives our council members an opportunity to have take that leadership and to be able to get out there as well. That's going to be April 25th. That's Saturday.
What time?
Next Saturday. It will be from 6 to 8 p.m. here. So for a single, it's $15, and for a couple, it's $20. And these funds will be used for our council to be able to go to state and to purchase things for our assemblies, for homecoming, prom, and to just be able to go to Stuco State as well, and any other events that our Stuco will be having. But yes, so I will leave this flyer here, and you will have to register before you can purchase tickets.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other community comments?
Hi,
Hi, everyone. I got to say, I've been to a lot of community meetings, and this has been the most fun. You all are just like a great group of people. I live in North Las Vegas, but I think I'm just going to regularly show up to Indian Springs Town Advisory Board meetings. This is great. So my name is Allison Farr. I'm with Solar United Neighbors of Nevada. I'm with a nonprofit program that has a national program, but we have state programs as well, and Nevada is our newest program, so we're a new program, so very excited. And I'm here for two reasons. So the first is because it's kind of a sneak peek that we are going to be running a solar bulk buy for residential homes this summer throughout Clark County. So that's kind of the idea of, like, if 100 of us go to an installer and say, we want to get rooftop panels, we want to upgrade our rooftop system or buy batteries or any of the above, what deal can you give us? So it reduces the price for all of us, and it also creates a sense of accountability with that installer, because one of the little secrets about, maybe not a secret, about the rooftop solar industry is it's kind of the wild, wild west out there, and there's not a whole lot of accountability. And we are really concerned about scams in particular. So when we all join together, there's that sense of accountability when we have the go-between. So that's the first thing I wanted to say, and offering to the board that if you want me to come back and do a presentation about that, I would love to do that. I'm kind of talking to the library about doing it as well. The second thing is that I wanted to say that we are also in support in general for well-sited large-scale solar systems. We have a neutrality policy both with rooftop solar and large-scale solar, where we cannot support any one particular project. But as we can all see, there's like really a lovely community support with the Bonanza project. And somebody asked, what is the community going to get out of that? Starting this year, there's a new program where if a large-scale solar project is sited on federal land, on BLM land, which the Bonanza project is, the county, the host county, receives 25% of the capacity fee. These are very large numbers. These are annual payments, unrestricted funds throughout the life of the project. That's decades. And those funds could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it will go to Clark County, but then as we have seen this disconnect, it's up to us to make sure that we advocate that we get those funds to the local town as well, to the local community. So that's in addition to all the other benefits that we've heard to the fire department and to the food pantry, that's another benefit that's coming to the community as well. So thank you all for listening. And I have a sign-up sheet if you're interested in the bulk buy program, and get on our email list, and I have business cards I'd be happy to pass around as well. Thank you all for being such wonderful hosts.
Thank you.
Anyone else this evening? Okay, we will close this meeting tonight. And our next PAB meeting is May 14th. Thank you very much.
Like, let it ride.